Joshua 5, reading from verse 13, and there's that little heading there over the paragraph, the fall of Jericho. We're going to read just three verses. Joshua 5, 13. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I now come. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. There's our passage for today. And I put it all up and I'm able to do so because it's short. And you will notice that as we go through our reflection today, I'm not going to put up points beginning with the same letter or points that rhyme or anything like that. I'm simply going to put up the text that I want us to reflect on together. What we have is quite an extraordinary account in this particular story of the life of Joshua. We begin with Joshua near Jericho. Now, Joshua, of course, we've reflected before, he was a man who came to this particular task having in many ways been prepared for this task of leading God's people. He had experienced the closeness and intimacy of God. We're told that when Moses spent time intimately speaking, having a conversation as a friend with God, then Joshua was also with him. Joshua knew what it was to have the closeness of that relationship with God. Joshua also knew what it was, as it were, to get his hands dirty. He knew what it was to fight. He knew what it was to take a sword in his hand and use it. And that was his day job. Joshua's day job was as a soldier. But what we read in Joshua chapter 1 was, in effect, God saying to Joshua, "Okay, Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. Now it's up to you." And if you've ever been number two in an organization, you know how comfortable that feels. Because you know, although you can say, "Oh, well, the buck stops at my desk," you know it doesn't really. Because you know there's always somebody else who will handle your mess if you do make a mess. But God says to Joshua, "Now, Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. Now it's up to you." Suddenly, Joshua is exposed. Joshua has to learn in a fresh way what it is to trust God, to follow God, and to lead God's people. It's a new place. And what we read here is another new experience for him. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up, saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hands. Joshua was preparing the people of Israel for battle. They had crossed over the river. They'd come into the promises of God. They'd begun to experience the blessing of God. Already they were eating of the harvest of the land. There was a sense in which they'd arrived. But they knew just ahead was Jericho. If ever they were going to move forward in terms of what God had for them, they had to defeat the people who lived in that city of Jericho. So what happens? Joshua, near Jericho, he looks up, sees a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword. All of Joshua's experience tells him, either this man is for us or is against us. All of his experience. Why else would he carry a sword? Why else would he be there as they prepare to fight against Jericho? And I'm aware that for us, with our experience of life, all the different experiences that you've been through, either just of life or of God, a spiritual journey, whenever we face something new, we always revert back to our experience and say, how do I understand what is in front of me? This new experience, how do I interpret it? And we fall back onto what we know. And for Joshua, I'm a soldier, I'm leading the people to Jericho, man with swords. What does he do? Well, either you're for us or for our enemies. And I'm aware there are many occasions in my life when I've been faced with a situation, a conversation that in a sense has been new to me. And I've reverted back to old models, old ways of thinking, not realizing that there is potentially something new. I remember meeting a lady a number of years ago, a lady who's now a really good friend. And she's a singer, she's a teacher, but she also sings a great deal. And she's recorded her songs, she's written songs, recorded her songs, beautiful voice. And I thought, this lady's a great lady. We were getting on really well together. And then she happened to drop into the conversation. Well, we attend a Church of England church, but really, I'm a Catholic. And the words, just before I could stop them, said, you're a Catholic. You know, they just came out. And for me, my models of thinking were, I'd been brought up to understand, well, Church of England is just about okay. But Catholic, you know, that's beyond the pale. You see, I was faced with somebody I thought I knew them. And yet it was new when she said, this lovely lady who had a lovely spirituality, who clearly loved God with a passion, she said, I'm really a Catholic. You know. And I reverted back to my old way of thinking, not realizing that possibly God wanted to challenge me with this woman about my attitudes, about the way I thought. Joshua is faced with a man standing in front of him, and he asked the question. Joshua went up with him to him and asked, are you for us or for our enemies? I guess this is the classic us and them. And how many times have you been in that situation where it's an us and them? If you're for us, you're okay. If you agree with me, you're okay. If you agree with my interpretation of the Bible, you're okay. If you belong to my denomination, you're okay. If you have a similar lifestyle to me, you're okay. But if you don't, you're one of them. And that's what Joshua is asking. Are you for us? Or for our enemies. Now, what happens then, I think is quite extraordinary. The response is neither. Hang on, let me just... Are you for us or for our enemies? Are you for us or for them? Which category do you fit into? Neither. This doesn't fit. Either you must. And that's another way in which we sometimes think. I understand all of the possibilities that there are. I understand all the models of thinking. You either fit into this one or that one. Either you're with me and my way of thinking, or you're with somebody else and their way of thinking, but there's only us and them. So when this person, this man standing in front of Joshua says, neither. I can just imagine Joshua taking a step back and going, oh, neither. What does that mean? What does that mean when something confronts us? And it does not fit into the old categories of our ways of thinking. But you know, when God comes to us, when God confronts us, He does not fit into our ways of thinking. And that's why he can say neither. I've said, I think, many times before, when I was young, I suppose a classic picture of how somebody became a Christian. The phrase would be used, what you need to do to become a Christian is ask Jesus to come into your life. How many people heard that when you were young? Yep, loads of us. You ask Jesus into your life. I don't think the Bible actually ever uses that phrase. You invite Jesus into your life. I remember a Bible teacher, very respected Bible teacher, using this illustration, saying, your life is like a house, and Jesus comes to the door and he knocks on the door, and you have a choice to open the front door and to welcome him into your life, and you welcome him into the hallway of your life. But of course, Jesus doesn't want to just be in part of your life. He wants to be in all of your life. So you can't just isolate him and say, well, now Jesus is in my life. That's great. I can consult him whenever I'm in trouble, because I know I'm just going to the hallway and there he'll be waiting patiently for me. Now, I know that illustration was used many times when I was young. But what if that's a wrong way of understanding it? Will you come in? We say to Jesus, will you come into my life or will you stay outside? And Jesus says, neither. Where does that put you? You hear the knock on the door of your life? We open it, it's Jesus. Will you come in or will you stay outside? And Jesus' response is, neither. And immediately, our ways of thinking are blown, and it doesn't fit anymore. Neither, he replied, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. So he reveals himself. I am the commander of the Lord's army. I come with power and authority. I'm not going to fit into your ways of thinking, but there is something new going on. Then we're told Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence. Now that was an appropriate response. Joshua knew from his background, from his experience, when you encounter anything from God, which he now understood, stood in front of him, his response is reverence, bowing down. That's the old way of thinking. And then he asked him, What message does my Lord have for his servant? And my reflection on this is, maybe that's the way perhaps that we think. That we encounter God and it's a new experience, and that before we can stop ourselves, we are saying, now, are you for us, for me or for somebody else? Are you with me or with them? Are you for me or against me? And we have those simple categories that we revert back to. But God says, no, I'm not with any of your categories, any of your ways of thinking. There's something new that is going on. So we say, okay, I now understand you're from God. Give me a message. Give me a message and I'll read it, I'll reflect on it, and then what do we do? Do you know what we do? We decide whether we like it or not. And we think, oh, I think that'll be for my benefit, so I'll do it. Or we say, message from God? Not sure about that one. It'll cost me too much financially, so I won't do it. It challenges my relationships. I'm not sure I want to do that. It means I might have to move my job or my home. No, I don't. What message have you got? Because then that puts me in control. It puts me in a place where I can decide once again what I do with what God is confronting me with. What message does my Lord have for his servant? And then very simply, the commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy. This isn't really a message that he's got. But what he's saying, under your straps,
of your shoes and take them off. Now Joshua is standing in the desert. How do you keep a prisoner in the desert? Get him to take his shoes off, because he's running nowhere. So what God does when God confronts Joshua, and says, this is something new, I'm not going to take your side, and I'm not going to take their side, I'm not going to put you in a position where you can choose whether God is for you or against you. God says, you take off your shoes, I am taking you prisoner, you come and be part of my life. So Jesus standing at the door of our life and knocking, and we open the door and we say, will you come in or stay out there? And he says neither. What he says is, you step out of your life and come and join me. And it's a new way of thinking. It's a new way of understanding the way that God operates. For Joshua, he'd experienced God, he'd heard God, he'd been with God. He knew intimacy with God. He'd seen God give him victory. But now, as he faced something new, he was saying, no longer can you live in the categories you've understood. Now you must take off your sandals and surrender. You must acknowledge that God does not come to take sides. He comes to take over. And that is the way of God. And you notice how the commander says, I am the commander of the Lord's army. What message has my Lord, the commander of the army of the Lord? The one who is in charge, the one who has authority, the one who has the right to tell us how to live, what to do, what our future should be, how we should deal with our relationships. God comes to us and confronts us and says, this is not about taking sides, it's about me taking over. I know from my experience that when God confronts us and says, I want to take over, and we respond, and we step into the way of God, or we seek to step into the way of God, we reflect on where we've been, and we think, how small-minded I was. I remember a number of years ago talking here about Rowan Williams. He'd just become Archbishop of Canterbury. And I reflected on the fact that I'd heard his first sermon in Canterbury Cathedral as Archbishop of Canterbury. And I said, it was an extraordinary message. I don't know if any of you saw or heard Rowan Williams' first sermon as Archbishop. It was an extraordinary sermon. And basically it was, if you want to know who you are, you will only ever discover who you are if you know God as Father through Jesus Christ. And it was such a powerful message, and I shared it. I remember somebody took me aside afterwards and said, I'm not sure about this Rowan Williams business. I said, why not? And this person said, well, I have been taught that he is a liberal, and I should take no notice of him. And I said, I'm only telling you what he said. And the response to me was, as a criticism, was the problem with you, Ed, is you're too generous. Is that a good criticism? You see, once you step out of, and once we step out of, it's either me or them. Whose side are you going to take? Are you going to take my side or their side, the evangelical side or the liberal side? And God says, I'm not going to take either of your sides. I'm here to take over. And we step into the way of God, which is a living way. We realize how small-minded I was to ever think that God was going to take sides. When God confronts us, he challenges us. Take off your sandals. I'm taking you prisoner. You now step into God's way of thinking. And the smallness of the way we think is shown up for what it is. John will testify many times, I'm sure, that in the 13 and a half years that Sarah and I have been here, buildings have been on the agenda for much of that time. And probably one of the big kind of corks in the bottle, as it were, for us doing anything with the buildings has probably been me. And I've just said, I'm not convinced that we should extend. I'm not convinced that we should move buildings or whatever. And there are all sorts of reasons I've given for this. But all the time, I've just been saying, I'm not sure we could be completely swamped as a church by the whole building project. And if you've ever been in a building project, you know how it can take over. And you might say, well, okay, why are we now in the middle of a building project? And my response is to say that one day God appeared and said, take off your sandals. I'm taking over. Because he said to us, there's 4 acres of land. Now go and build on it. You see, for me, we're not building. We're not moving because we're full. We're not building because we want more space. We're doing it because God came and said, this is what you're to do. And it's when we encounter God and step into his way that we say, whatever. Whatever you say, that's what I'm happy to do. So we have this response from Joshua. And perhaps the most important words in this whole account, and Joshua did so. He didn't need to. He didn't have to. But Joshua did so. And for us, what will we do? What is it? Just as I've been speaking, that you've been reflecting on, what has been going on in your mind that perhaps is us or them? Whose side do you think God should be on? Should it be your side or somebody else's side? What are the issues, specific issues, that God has been addressing and just putting his finger on just in these last few minutes? God doesn't come to take your side. He comes to take over your life and show you a completely new way of living. And may God be kind to us as we reach out for him. May God show us his grace in a fresh way as we respond to him. So that like Joshua, as we face something new, may we respond in obedience and then see God do something we could never have imagined before. Let's take a moment. Let's pray together. There's perhaps nothing so comfortable and safe as that which is familiar to us. Whether that's a place or an attitude, whether it is the answers we have. And we pray. And we continue to pray that God would confront each one of us and confront us together, that we might take off our sandals and acknowledge that his way is the better way, that we might surrender our lives, our hearts, our past and our future to him. Continue to stir our hearts, we pray. For we ask in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen.